I'm Peter Block at ACC 20 and WCC 20, the World Congress of Cardiology. It is a virtual conference this year, and I am here today with Dr. Harmony Reynolds from NYU. Dr. Reynolds has been instrumental in trying to understand the complexity of patients with INOCA, I-N-O-C-A, no obstructive coronary disease, and yet having angina. So without further ado, Harmony, tell me about your trial, what the name of it is, and tell me what you were looking for in this subset of patients.
Sure, thanks for having me. So this is the CHOW study, and CHOW stands for Changes in Ischemia and Angina Over 1 Year in people who were screen failures from the ischemia trial because they had no obstructive coronary disease on an angiogram. So these are, as you said, INOCA patients. They have ischemia, they have signs and symptoms of ischemia, but they have no obstructive coronaries. No coronary is more than halfway blocked on a CT.
Okay, so for your study, you took the patients out of ischemia at baseline, and then you followed them up for 1 year, as I understand it. And what were you tracking at the time?
We were looking for how symptoms that could be angina and how stress echo defined ischemia evolve over time, with the thinking that they might change together because the ischemia underpins the angina.
Okay, so you said an interesting thing just then. You said who might have angina, but in fact, they do have angina, don't they?
They do. They had to have ischemic symptoms either before, during, or after their stress test.
Okay, so here are folks who clearly have ischemic symptoms and have positive stress tests, so they really have objective evidence of something bad going on, and yet they have no coronary disease when you look at them angiographically, or at least what appears to be no coronary disease. Let me ask you also about that. Is that a big deal? Do we miss stuff when we do an angiogram that may in fact cause this, or do you think that we're good enough that we don't miss stuff?
A very important point. So in this case, this was CT angiography. And I think if anything, that's going to be even better at finding occult plaque in these patients. There's always the hypothesis that maybe plaque is diffuse and that is explaining the appearance of no obstructive disease. But here we have CT, so we're not just seeing the lumen, we're seeing the wall. You know, an interesting thing about this population is that the severity of ischemia on the stress echo was really quite a bit. For the ischemia trial, they had to have moderate or severe ischemia, so that was 3 segments with stress-induced moderate or severe hypokinesis on a stress echo. And our patients had a median of 4 segments. So if you look at the slides, you can see an example, and the ventricle really falls apart.
Yeah, I actually saw that, and I was struck by how positive this quote-unquote objective evaluation was. And yet they don't have anything bad going on the CT. Okay, so let's cut to the chase. What did you find when you did all these studies after 1 year?
Well, let's start with the context. So again, they have quite a bit of ischemia. They have fairly prominent symptoms. The median Seattle Angina Frequency Score, Seattle Angina Questionnaire Angina Frequency Score was 90. So they had some symptoms, but just because it's the ischemia trial, we excluded people with an unacceptable degree of angina. And we found that both at baseline and when looking at the change over 1 year, the angina and the ischemia severity were not correlated. We found after 1 year that half of the patients had a normal stress echo, which is very different than where they started, and 39% of the patients had an improvement in their angina frequency score by at least 10 points, which seems to be an important improvement in angina. Now, the converse is that 45% of our patients had the same stress echo findings or even worse.
You know, when I looked at your slide earlier, I saw that the angina questionnaire between enrollment and 1 year was vastly different. The frequency score was vastly different. No angina in the last month was vastly different. Monthly angina was vastly different. Weekly angina, daily, on and on. So things are changing despite the fact that you're not doing any major intervention here. Do we have any idea what's going on?
I had thought that medications might be the answer, but the median number of anti-anginals was 1, both at enrollment and at 1 year. So it doesn't seem to be because of a huge change in medications.
It's weird, isn't it? We have so much more to learn. So at the end of the day, tell me, Harmony, whether or not there's a real take-home message here for people who are taking care of these folks, because they're hard to take care of.
They are, and I think that the take-home messages are, first, there's a lot of variability in symptoms and ischemia in these patients over time. I believe that they probably came to medical attention and therefore got enrolled in ischemia because they were at a time when they were most symptomatic. We know that coronary flow reserve can change over time and that spasm is inherently variable. So I think there's just an ebb and flow in the symptoms for these patients and in the stress test findings. And that is one of the challenges of taking care of them. So we need probe studies and clinical trials to figure this out.
Perfect. So a lot more to learn about it, but I think that the angina and the ischemia do not correlate over the course of 1 year is fascinating. Any idea what's going on with that? Because you'd think that they would.
You'd think that they would, but you know, this now aligns with an emerging body of literature. It's dogma that the worse the ischemia, the worse the angina should be. But if we think about it, people have very different levels of emotional or physical stress in their lives from time to time. You know, you can think of somebody that has obstructive coronary disease and is very active and then gets sidelined by a knee injury. Suddenly their angina might go away, but they have the same obstructive disease. And so there's more to the genesis of angina than just the severity of ischemia, patient-specific pain factors, autonomic function, and how much activity and how much mental stress they're under, plus when it comes to INOCA, probably a changing over time underlying pathophysiology.
I love it. That's a perfect way of putting it all together. Thank you so much. Still a lot to learn, and I'm sure you'll be part of a harmony to putting it all together for us. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you.